Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
There is only one war that matters, and it is here.
Welcome to another edition of whatever Jeff Garland calls this, Castle of Thrones, with the our Game of Thrones experts, Will Lee and Marwa Altaguri, and Jeff Garland, of course. Guys, I'm stunned by the last episode. All I could say were the words, at the end. I couldn't deal with it. And then I couldn't deal with the fact that, A, Will knew about it, and B, what's going to happen next week. So, talk about the episode first.
Yeah, are we going to start with the ice javelin? Is that what
I think that's the place to start. Yeah.
There's so much in that episode.
Jumping off point.
See, Marwa, I know Marwa has the subtle, intricate, layered details later, but yes, the ice javelin. Let's go.
Right. It was horrifying just because I guess we've been seeing them. We've seen them throughout. You know, Jon was fighting the White Walker. Last season at Hardhome, and. I was always a little uneasy. It's like, what's he going to do with this? Why don't they have ice swords, I always wondered. You know, why do they have these things?
Yeah.
So now they had it, and it worked to perfection, which has fed this theory that I'm sure that Mar was probably seeing about whether the White Walkers always knew about the dragons and were just probably lulling them in to bring them out and then to kill them. You know, was this all a ploy from the Night King all along?
See, I don't think it was a ploy. I think it's just a progression of this back and forth, because they've had, you know, they've been around for as long as anyone, and I haven't read the books, but obviously it seems like this war between, you know, the night and the day and the south, north and the south has always been kind of raging on for a long time. So they've been developing this technology, like, well, we got to wait until we can march south. So we've perfected it. We're ready. Last time they had a dragon and it screwed us, and this time we're ready for it. And I think, like, it's just that next step, and it's like the next step of this, you know, never-ending battle. So I don't think they lured him so much. I think it's just a progression there. That's my take on it.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what this ice dragon can do. You would assume that it could breathe ice as opposed to breathing fire. And if that's the case, I'm wondering, can it create like a set of ice stairs, and this could allow them to easily get over the wall? Or is are the powers that this ice dragon now has? It's just a nuclear weapon for the White Walkers. I mean, there's just so much potential with this ice dragon now.
My mind's eye can't conceive of a ice fire, you know, sort of coming from a dragon. Does HBO have the budget for this? I don't know. Can you imagine what
you just freeze a guy?
Right, exactly.
Like, you get hit, you're one of the Lannisters, right, who goes up north. Mm-hmm. Jamie, I don't know who, right? Somebody standing there and it gets ice blasted, and then what? You get touched and crumble into ice?
Right, you get whipped with the tail and fall to pieces, you know, or something like that.
That's a lot of effort compared to just torching them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Right?
And this is something that really makes this kind of crazy, is that this is a White Walker dragon. This isn't a white dragon, because the Night King himself, right, touched the dragon and revived him. And so this isn't like an undead dragon. This is a dragon that supposedly has intelligence, like the White Walkers, and powers. And it makes me scared for the other dragons if it interacts with them.
Question.
What if
you're scared for the other dragons?
Yeah, what if that? What if the ice turns them into a white? I mean, what if they have not that power to turn them into a white?
And which one is it? Viserion.
Because people are calling him Viserion now.
Okay, so Viserion, named after her brother?
Yeah.
Right.
Her crazy brother with the golden head.
Absolutely.
Right?
Right.
Kind of little...
foreshadowing.
Bitchy child that he was, right? You know what I mean?
Right.
And deserved it. Deserved everything that came to him. So he already has the name of the sort of malevolent name to begin with.
Right. Also, if we can, if I can
you
make
just sure. Scared me for the dragons.
Right, me too. That was my first thought.
While we're on the topic, what about also when John is fighting the White Walker and kills it with Longclaw, and then all of the bony whites just fall to the ground, you know? The first time that's ever happened, it was like one of those...
This was huge, because we know so little about the White Walkers, and now we know that, you know, if you kill the people who brought them back, then that's the key.
Well, I think the catch is, though, and I don't know if it's one of these technicalities, because did they fall because they were basically nothing, because they were bone? Because they did have the one that they captured, who was mostly fleshy and still decaying.
Right.
So he was still alive.
But someone explained it in there, I forgot who it was when they were asking about what happened there, and the connection to who created him. So maybe those guys weren't created by that walker. They were created by another one, and just maybe in that group, or whether it was another king.
And it seems very convenient that there was just one left for them to capture.
Right. What are the odds, eh, guys?
There was a lot of convenience in there this was. Episode.
There was, especially in the form of Cold Hands, which, hello, that was crazy.
Right.
That was just insane. And
who sent him there? Did Bran?
Bran did it. It had to have been. They had this connection before.
I don't know, because here's the thing. If Bran's getting involved with all this stuff, then why doesn't he just get involved with more important things than this?
Well,
I know, Bran. When are you going to step up and be a Stark again?
Maybe your sisters. How about you start there with the chaos that's happening right
before they
down
kill
the road
each other.
From the Weirwood tree?
Right. It's all of these things. It's like, how is it? I don't know if he sent it, but I think the real symbol of all of this, because actually Marla and I were kind of talking about how, you know, despite Thoros dying, it wasn't none of
Thoros is the red
priest.
Priest
who actually right. brings back a Beric Dondarrion. The question is, though, I think this is the producer saying all bets are off now. You know, this is, you know, just like Beric is on his own. You, as the viewer, are on your own now, so anything can happen. Everyone can start dying off from here on out, even characters who you've watched the whole time and loved. I think that's what they're doing.
Once they killed Ned Stark, you know, who was great in Lord of the Rings, by the way, and also another movie called Clean Skin. Awesome. What's his name, the actor? Sean Bean. Mm-hmm. Awesome Sean Bean espionage movie, Clean Skin, and another one about the Black Plague. He was a knight during the time of the Black Plague. Once they killed him off, anyone can die. And now, as you point out, Beric Dondarrion's Red Priest is gone. Who will bring you know, I thought Jon Snow died.
Right.
You didn't think. No, wait a second. Yeah. He went into.
Right. And you were reeling from the death of a dragon to even wrap your head around it.
Right.
When I can't think about him being dead right now because there's too much going on.
And there are no red priests in Westeros that we know of because Melisandre has left, or gone back to Volantis, we're told. Mm-hmm. So if next time he's dead, he's dead.
Before we get to the questions, one more. I have a question for my Game of Thrones experts, Jeff. Did you ever find, where in all of the north, which is basically savage land, ice land, uninhabited, and basically not even rudimentary technology, did they come up with 2 miles worth of heavy link chain? And I have some experience with this because in my other life, before I was thought of myself to be a writer, I was a merchant sailor, and I wanted to be, literally captain of my own ship, okay? And those are anchor chains that you use on a huge anchor to moor a ship in, say, the middle of the Mississippi. You know, when you see ships moored there, and then they take little launches back and forth, waiting to get to the cargo docks. How in God's name can you get anchor chains up there?
Well,
that are so long, longer than any anchor chain I've ever seen.
Three of them.
At least three, right?
Three. That goes back to the idea of it's too many things are just a little too convenient in this episode.
Yeah.
I mean, you get it. They're trying to write stuff that hasn't been, you know, they're going to crunch down and trying to get it into one episode. But
yeah, I think that the easy answer to why there are these heavy, heavy chains so far north is to say that, yes, the Night King and the White Walkers were trying to trap a dragon this whole time, and anticipated this and somehow found the chains before and had sort of planned for this. But I think this all just comes down to some bad writing. And I actually took issue with this episode because it was awesome. I loved everything that happens with the dragon. I loved everything. All the conversations that we had between Beric and Jon, between Tormund and Jon.
Oh, my God.
All
of that
the whole stuff man was, bonding thing.
All of that stuff you was are so
honorable.
Good.
You are an honorable man. I am an honorable man. We like women, and we like to fight, and we're honorable. Yeah. Right? It was all that.
And they fight for each other against the very death that they've all been talking about. They give each other the eye. Tormund gives the Hound the eye, and I gives him because he's actually seen the army of the dead.
When they walked,
Snow tried to give Longclaw away, and they
stood there, I thought, they're giving away Longclaw. Another, I am honorable. You
right,
honorable.
Exactly.
Your father gave me this sword. Changed the pommel from a bear to a wolf, but it's still Longclaw, and it's been in your family for centuries. It's not right for me to have it. He gave it to you. I'm not his son.
I brought shame into my house. I broke my father's heart. I forfeited the right to claim this soul. It's yours.
We have some questions I put on Facebook. Questions for you guys? All right, so, and the first one that I'm choosing comes from Nancy Withers Yanagitate. And, Nancy, here's your question. Will John find out his identity before or after he gets Dany pregnant?
I'd say after. It makes it, I think it's more, since we're talking of HBO as a soap opera, he'll find out after.
This is a loaded question.
A little bit.
A little bit. We, from our understanding, Daenerys is infertile. So this implies that Jon can somehow
get her pregnant.
But she keeps saying it, though. And that's the thing. Every time, every time something keeps being repeated, it's always sometimes just shown to be false or, you know, or it's going to be mentioned. She said it twice this season already. These are the only children. These are my children. These are the only children that I'll have, so.
I would say after. I don't think we're going... Will and I were actually just talking about whether John's identity is going to come out in the finale, like this next episode. And I'm not sure it will, and I'm not sure it will for a while, because I think it's in the storyline's best interest to kind of keep this information in its back pocket.
They tipped their hand to that, too, because there was the whole concept where she says, we figure out who's sitting on the throne. After, who will be my descendant?
Cersei doesn't care.
Right, it doesn't matter. After.
She's going to kill whoever it is.
And I think that we're going to, it's not going to matter. That's going to be, we got to figure out the North and then figure out.
Here's another question. I got to stay with the questions for a second. Will, here's from Todd Grayson. Dragon glass on Scorpion? Will Jon and Dany allow Cersei to use dragon glass on Scorpion to get the reanimated dragon from up north, meaning Viserys or whatever his name is now.
Viserys,
yeah. Right?
I keep wondering if that was just, I don't know, I wonder if that was just a little tease and then it's gone. It's one of those things that Game of Thrones does every once in a while. They built it up, showed you actually shooting it into the dragon's skull in the crypt, and then just completely moving on past it once it didn't kill Drogon. I don't know yet. I think there's a lot of war that has to happen before it gets to that point. Like, the actual White Walkers and Whites will be rushing into King's Landing. So, before that happens, so if they're dragon flame killing them, I don't know if someone will be aiming to kill them at that point. But.
I don't think we're going to see this ice dragon until the end of the last season.
Yeah.
And here's my theory. I think that a season of humans fighting White Walkers is boring. I think that they're kind of save that. They're going to save that till the end. And the reason why we all fell in love with this show is because of the politics of it. And that's what's so interesting about this. And the White Walkers and the dragons, that's all really interesting too. But that's not as interesting as the humans who are in this show. So I think we're going to be dealing mostly with Cersei and all these other storylines. And because of that, I really don't think we're going to deal with the White Walkers until the end, which has been the trend for most of these seasons, like Hardhome. And then we didn't see the White Walkers really. We didn't see them much in the last season, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So I think
it's like a season without Bran, right?
It's true.
Okay, here's another one. Let's see. Okay, here's one for Jeff Carlin. Jeff, is that really Arya Stark or a no one with her face?
No, it's Arya.
Sure.
Yeah, it's Arya. And I don't think, in that whole scene with Arya and her sister, it sets up a lot of the politics, which we all think are interesting, and kind of, you know, like feeling that out where they both lie. I think it's more Arya just trying to assert herself over her sister, because she was just trying to point out, like, well, you should think about this, and you need to be careful about this. Earlier, you know, when they first kind of got together, there was a little bit of planning, and since it kind of dismayed and kind of pushed it off, it's like, well, I don't know if that's, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. I was there. I just kind of, I know what's going on. And I think this is Arya trying to one-up her. I don't think Arya is going to be as homicidal and kill her own sister. I don't think that's going to happen.
You don't think that could happen?
It could, obviously. But
that would be so, like, remember Jon Snow getting stabbed? We didn't know it. Like, oh my God, Jon Snow! That Arya kills the sister.
But it's too straightforward. I think
Tammy Brown, reader Tammy Brown on Facebook. Arya will kill her sister, don her face, and heads to King's Landing to assassinate Cersei.
Yeah.
That's super too morbid, creepy. I think.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's too easy. I think that they want us to think that. I think that's the idea.
Well, right. They play up a very ghastly idea. And really, I think that scene was just, you know, Arya testing her older sister, and then at the very end, she gives her the blade because she passed her test. You know, there's no deception in what she sensed.
I hope that's the case. A lot of people really hated this interaction between Sansa and Arya, and I'm one of those people, and I think that's why.
Is it like the Dorne storyline like that?
I think this is one of the reasons why I didn't love this episode as much as I probably could have, was because for me, this Arya-Sansa thing, I mean, it makes sense. These girls never liked each other, but. And it makes sense because Arya is honest of what? She's like a 12-year-old killer assassin, right? Mm-hmm. She's supposed to be, I mean, she's kind of in this really awful psychological place. I think of this as similar to last season when Arya got stabbed by the Wave in the stomach like 6 times. And everyone was in disbelief that she lived, and everyone came up with all these theories, like, maybe the Waif is wearing Arya's face, or maybe it's not really Arya. And at the end of the day, it just ended up being really bad writing. And I think that might be what's going on in this situation, is the writers are kind of like playing this up to be more than it actually is, when at the end of the day, hopefully, it's just Arya trying to show Sansa how much she's learned, and trying to test Sansa and see if she can actually trust her. There's also a theory that that Arya gave Sansa the knife as a way of asking her if she's okay with killing Littlefinger. And then, because Arya is still on this mission to get to King's Landing, supposedly. I'm not sure why she's hanging around Winterfell. Maybe she's hoping that she can see Jon or something.
Right.
But her endgame is to kill Cersei, right? So there's a theory that her giving the knife to Sansa is her kind of getting Sansa's blessing to kill Littlefinger, and then Arya would take Littlefinger's face down to King's Landing. But I don't know what you think about that.
I think Littlefinger is already an enemy, having sided with the Vale against the Crown. I think he already has a death sentence, and it could only come out that he was also involved in the Joffrey assassination, even though his accomplices are all dead. These things always kind of have a way of coming back up. So I don't know if that sits. I think some of your points were really great about that. I wonder. It has to be resolved, I think. Because once the White Walkers get here, they can't have these little tiffs.
Marwa has revealed herself that her true talent in this business, besides writing, is to be a great editor. And I think I hope I'm alive to see it. Marwa Altagiri, editor of the Chicago Tribune. Listen to that, Bruce Dold, okay, because I see that talent here. Okay, another question from Kathleen Sawicki. Guys, will Catelyn ever reappear?
Oh, Catelyn Stark.
Catelyn Stark, Stoneheart,
no.
She wasn't even introduced as Lady Stoneheart
Okay. I think they did a line where they said, with Sansa, maybe a couple of seasons ago, they said, you know what they did with my mother, you know, they slit her throat and put her in the river. That was their only.
And Nymeria saves her.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah, I doubt
she
that.
Pulls her from the river. The wolf. No. Am I not supposed to say that?
I doubt that. At this point, like, how many years has passed since the Red Wedding?
Oh, yeah.
Like 3 or 4, right?
At least.
Yeah, I mean, how old? Sansa's pushing 30, for God's sake. Come on.
A year passes every time they go up to the wall or something, you know?
Something like that. You're familiar with the Lady Stoneheart theory, right?
Yeah, okay.
So, I didn't know if we wanted to explain it for people
who you might as well. I mean, some people haven't read the book. She's a character that's pivotal in the book itself, right? I mean,
so... Will, do you want to go ahead?
Sure. So, after the Red Wedding, her body is dumped into, I believe, one of the rivers, and where it is found by the Brotherhood of Banners, where I believe it is Beric who gives her the last kiss, which is basically giving his life force to her. But instead of resurrecting the good-hearted but sometimes selfish Catelyn Stark, he resurrects a very angry spirit of her version of her, and she wants revenge on anyone who's gone against her family. And that's a very scary part of the books, as a matter of fact.
Now, is she...
I'm in that book now, book 5.
In the books, is Arya... I haven't read the books, but is Arya as evil, or not evil, but as a vindictive killer as she is in the show? In the books?
She doesn't have these sort of interactions yet. Like, she's way far...
She's still... I think in the books, she... she's... She just got to Braavos, right?
Right.
Something like that. I mean, the show is way ahead of Arya's storyline than what we're getting in the books.
Gotcha.
And that's our problem with this whole thing, that George Martin doesn't have the editor to kick him in the ass and tell him to write these damn books.
Because Arya, I mean, you're describing, Lady Stoneheart, like, she sounds a lot like Arya, like how Arya became, and it almost sounds like they just kind of, we'll kind of force that into this character and make this character more that than...
That's a good point.
Back in Braavos, before I got my first face, there was a game I used to play. The game of faces.
It's simple. I ask you a question about yourself, and you try to make lies sound like the truth. If you fool me, you win. If I catch a lie, you lose. Let's play.
I don't want to play.
Okay, what else is maddening is we're running out of time, but we do have to talk about this this final episode that's coming, and it's called again?
The Dragon and the Wolf.
The Dragon and the Wolf.
Who's the wolf? Is it Jon Snow? Or is it... who else is it?
Could be lots of wolves.
Right? They're all Starks.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And, or it could be Nymeria. I still hope... I just feel sad for a girl to lose her her big dire wolf.
It'll be around somewhere.
Run away, Nymeria.
This whole thing is... I've been waiting for this for months. I'm not lying about this. I'm giddy about it just to be even able to see it. I'm hoping that this is finally when they learn John's parentage, where they finally put two and two together and do it.
Who's going to do it? Bran?
Well, maybe. We saw the teaser coming up for it, and they're all in King's Landing, and there's this...
It's a dragon, what is that called?
Dragon Pit.
And so there is going to be this UN of sorts for Westeros to try to be like, hey, listen, I get it, we got to figure this out, because the thing across the wall, they just got a dragon, by the way. We hate to tell you that. We've got dragons, they've got one.
Why in God's name would Daenerys even go to King's Landing knowing that Cersei could kill her there?
Well, that's the whole question, you know? I guess it's just meant for all these characters to be in King's Landing at the same time, and this was the vessel that took them there. Mm-hmm. Like, this storyline of let's show them a way. But, okay, so based off the trailer, you guys all saw the trailer for the next episode. So, Jon and Dany are going to be there. Is Tyrion going to be there? Do we know?
Oh, he's got to be, so she could give him her cold looks.
So is Cersei going to do anything about Tyrion? Or is she trying to put on her Tywin hat and be very clever about this? And
she foreshadowed that, right?
Yeah, and do something about it later as opposed to immediately having his head.
No one here has talked about the thing that no one's talking about, Clegane Bowl.
A question from one of the readers. Yeah. Wait, that's the best question. From Bren Kelly. Are we finally going to get a Mountain versus a Hound fight in the finale? Thanks, Bren.
I I think so. It's very possible. This is a long episode. Mm-hmm. I mean, we need all the sword fights we can get now that we've seen the Ice Dragon.
You know. I think we should all just hope and pray that we get Cocaine Bowl this finale. That'd be awesome.
That'd be amazing.
That'd be really cool.
Is there anyone that Arya could kill so she could go down to be there in with a different
face? I mean, there
face?
Is... What,
and then...
Right. What what if Arya kill does somehow get in and kills Cersei, dons her face, and then...
Then once the rest of the... Then the next season is all...
The war's over, then.
The war's over.
Then. Right, the war's over, and they go north of the Wall. And then you have...
But you can't have a whole season of killing White Walkers, because...
Yeah. It's, yeah, exactly. It's not as compelling, I think, than...
Right, there's no,
yeah,
there's no
politics
way,
there's no
it.
Way Cersei dies in this finale. I want to see her sort of attack from the inside, as she told Jaime she was going to do a couple episodes ago. Mm. I want to see Cersei try to be as smart as her father and fail.
Oh, that's exactly it.
That's
She's,
what I want
to
see.
She wants to be, you know, had to pull off the master stroke, but thing about all of this is there are actual, you know, ice demons up to the north who are coming to kill all of us, and you're trying to take down the person who's trying to stop that. Where does that leave you? She's horribly outmatched and self-destructive. And I
one thing, another thing we've forgotten, one of my favorite gifts is of Littlefinger, who could be mayor of a major metropolitan city, and Varys, and they're just whispering to each other. Varys, the spider. Where does Varys come? I haven't seen him. We just had a small part in the last episode. He's sitting there talking. Tyrion, they're talking in the hall. You must talk to her. You must talk to Daenerys so she doesn't become mad and burn people. When does he come back? Is there some place for him to be at this? Because this has Varys written all over to me. A lot of people coming together. He's lost control of his little spies to Qyburn.
Right. His birds.
Maybe I'm just dreaming.
Well, you know, I thought a lot of these failures that have been put on Tyrion are Varys's. He's the master of whispers for her. He's the spy master. He's supposed to know where Euron is. He's supposed to know all these things. So all these things, ultimately, you know, Tyrion is the hand of the king, but... You know, what's Varys been doing? How come he's been able to evade all of this?
Because he doesn't have a network anymore.
Well, let's go around and see, does everyone think that Varys is loyal to Daenerys? Because that's really the question.
No.
He's
loyal to his own best interest, ultimately. And his own best interest, if he can, he's like a Moray. I mean, he locks onto you, and he's going to ride you to the top. And he's going to help you along the way, and so I think he's got to go.
I agree. He's a Littlefinger. He's a Bronn.
Yeah.
He is just in it for himself, and I just don't think that he's loyal to Daenerys, and I think that might come out this next episode.
But didn't he want Tyrion to come with him to serve Daenerys? Has he been always scheming against her? Think of it.
He schemed against her, tried to
have her killed, and then later with Gif and Young... Oh, that's in the book. See? Okay. So we get back here after the series and talk about the last series, the last episode, right? And then, what? Curl up into little fetal positions and die? Or do we moan? Or do we do the worst thing, Mara... Which is try to latch on to another substandard, like, medievalist fantasy series or something. You know how they came up with all those ridiculous shows? Remember, a few years ago, there were network shows and cable shows that tried to ape this.
Yeah,
and they were terrible.
Once Upon a Time and all that.
What are we going
to
do?
Yeah, I don't know. I think everyone has to come back next week with a game plan for the next year and a half of their life.
All right.
How will you survive?
How will we survive? For Marwa Altaguri, William Lee, the Three-Eyed Raven, Jeff Carlin, who loves eclipses more than me, and John Cass, thanks for being here, and thanks for listening. We love you, and we'll talk to you next week.